If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, we began there last week. We want to take a look at it again and go to Exodus chapter 5. The story will start off in chapter 3, but we want to just go from there. In your bulletins, you also have some place where you can put some notes down. You may want to write a couple of the things down that I'm going to share with you today because we're going to talk about transition and change. 19 months ago, I began a journey with you as your transitional pastor. For many of you and for many others, understanding what a transitional pastor does and what is that, what's that look like, is very, very confusing. Some think it's like a traditional interim pastor of the past that they've seen before or they've experienced in other churches. Others, they think that it's to help the body go from point A to B and navigate that. And there's some that think that, well, what's the reason for an interim pastor or a transitional pastor? Let's just get a new pastor and let's move on. Transitional pastor helps the body through change and transition. And when something comes to an end, such as what you've experienced over 20 months ago, of having a pastor of 39 years retire, there's going to be change. And for sure, transition for the body. You have been on an incredible journey. It started before I came 19 months ago. And it continues as you move towards your new pastor. And it will continue when you get your new pastor. Through March, as I mentioned last week Sunday, we want to give testimony and praise to our Lord for what He's been doing in your midst. And we've been singing about that. The team led us very nicely in giving the praise to our Lord and Savior, and we want to continue to do that. We began last Sunday taking a look at communion, as our Lord has encouraged us to do, and we want to carry that on this morning. I had asked a couple people, and I'll have Jim and Brad come up, but I've asked a couple people this Sunday to share what they have been seeing and what they've been observing the Lord doing, to bear testimony to you of what the Lord's been doing. And next week, I have done the same thing. So Brad and Jim, that was your cue. I'll say it again. You can come on up. Share with you what the Lord has been doing. And sometimes you don't get to see the midst. And so I'd asked Jim, who has been the chair, your chair, for a number of years. He has now passed that over to Stephen. But he has been there before I came, and Brad has moved into chair of the deacons, but as well, he is your chair moderator for the body. So I've asked them to share, if they will, what they have been seeing the Lord do.
Good morning, church family. My name is Brad Keith. I am currently the chair of the Deacons Board. God has been doing such wonderful things recently, and I am pleased to be able to share some of them with you. The deacons have been going over a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lincone. We have been learning that even through the deacons have their own portfolios, and have their own responsibilities within their portfolios, each one of these portfolios overlap and intersect. For example, Family Ministries Committee organizes one of their fantastic events. They cannot do it alone. The social committee makes the food. The building committee sets up the tables and the chairs. The worship team does the sound. The finances does the bills. The admin would schedule the room. then this is just one example. In the past, the team of a portfolio would take on the items within their portfolio to complete it with the best of their abilities and either doing the work that is under their portfolio or reach out when necessary, but mostly they would just try to do everything themselves. We've been learning that even on the day of the events, that there are overlap that we don't think of. The deacons have been learning that we must open up our communication and work as a team. We are still learning to put this into practice and what it looks like and what this book is teaching, but we are getting better all the time. While I've been on the deacons board, we've had a real difficult time filling all of the positions. But now, not only have the deacons have enough deacons to cover every portfolio, but we have some overlap. We've had some difficult time getting people to volunteer for any of the committees and teams. Now we have lots of people that want to be involved and to serve. Our church has been growing in the love and hunger for God's word. As we say in our Bible studies on Monday and Wednesday, just read the words. Little plug there for our Bible study. We're starting to have a presence outside of the church. Right now, we have a team that is in missions team that is in Bolivia. We have the neighbors table is serving on Mondays and doing amazing work. People are starting to bring neighbors to church and to our events. In the past couple years, we've had a real struggle with the youth portfolio. We've had very limited youth and the volunteers for running the event. The committee is now running, and the new Youth 180 program is up and running. I have not had the opportunity to invade or to sneak into their event yet, but what I hear is that the kids are having a blast. CE has always been a challenging and busy portfolio. Shanoa has been doing a great job as one of the deacons. She has built herself a solid team. What a blessing it is! It has been that we get to pray for all the kids before they go to children's church. I love seeing how many kids that we can influence for God every day. Shanoa is looking to help for still more help for her team. If you have any administrative skills, please reach out to Shanoa. Shanoa is also starting to create her team for VBS, that's Vacation Bible School, this summer. If you're interested to help out with any of in any aspect of VBS, please reach out to Shanoa. If you don't know who Shanoa is, she's right back there. The social committee now has a certified kitchen. Yay! They have done a great job, as always, with our meals, potlucks, and banquets. Now they are mentoring the kids. Our God has promised to provide for the provisions of the church, and he always keeps his promises. There are many times where God gives us lean times, but in the end, he provides. I want to thank all of you for all the efforts that have been made for these portfolios, committees, Bible studies, and to make all of these things successful. Every one of you that participates to bring these things for the blessings to happen, thank you so much. And with all the amazing things that God is doing in our midst, I will wrap up with an announcement with our new mission and vision that the Lord has given us through all of our stickies. Our logo is out of date. We need a new one. We are having a contest. I am asking all of you drawers, painters, crayon enthusiasts, tablet sketchers, if you can draw something or make something up on your computer, we need the idea of a church logo. All submissions and questions can be directed towards me. When we have gathered all of the submissions and the leader, when we've gathered all of the submissions, the leadership will select the winner and there will be a prize. The prize has not been selected yet, so please be advised. The deacons will discuss that at the next meeting. Wonderful.
Thank you, Brad. Good morning. So as I thought about this month of celebration, I was pondering on this for several weeks, and as I reflected back to Paul retiring and all that has gone on in the last 19 months, I think we all had lots of fears and unknowns that we had to face. There were some really, really tough times. And we as elders certainly didn't do everything right. And we're still striving to hear better and to communicate better. But there's positive things that have come out of this valley we go through. We were driven to prayer, much prayer. And the transition team was divided up, had divided up the congregation and made phone calls to see how people were doing. And part of this prayer ministry that we had was we had the Wholeness Through Christ team come here and put on a weekend event to help us through prayer ministry, which for those who attended was very healing. We've heard in testimony how people's lives have been changed in this time. Marriages have been healed. And you will be hearing more testimonies coming up in the next few weeks. Todd has visited more congregants in this time than anyone has it for many years, and that has been a blessing to many people. The prayer time in the morning service has been such a blessing to so many. It certainly has to me. We've had many people in our congregation that have been dealing with illness, and to lift them in prayer is a privilege. And seeing them join us in worship when they can is an inspiration to us all. Sometimes I know it's a real struggle for them to be here. I'm praying for these kids up here. It's a beautiful thing. I honestly wished that everyone could have a chance to stand there. And when you call them kids to come, it's like this beautiful migration. It's unbelievable to see that. And it does huge things in their little hearts. So what a beautiful thing that is. What a blessing. We, as elders, have had the privilege of laying hands on and praying for a number of people this year, which is also such a privilege. And there'll be a little bit of overlap here, but it's still, you see how God's working. More people have stepped up in serving with children's ministries and with nursery. And I've talked to people, and you know, when you serve like that, sometimes it's amazing how much of a blessing you get out of it. You think you're doing a blessing to those kids, but you're getting a blessing. And you see that in so many things. And I've spoke to you before about when I've had a chance to help out with the Tuesday morning kids up here on Tuesday morning when the ladies' Bible study is going on, and how I'm so impressed with what they're learning and the deepness of what they're hearing. And I know that all the programs, the ones after school, these are such a blessing. These kids are learning solid biblical truth, and what a foundation. Another thing that's happening, and Brad alluded to it, Todd has asked the elders to have better communication with deacons. So for the last few months, we've been meeting together in our monthly meetings. We've been meeting for the first hour just to share and to pray with each other there. The transitional team has worked very hard on the sticky notes that we all had input into. And they came up with our new mission and vision and values. And out of that, I think there was some 40 people that put their name down that they would help out in many ways. And I know that Shanoa has compiled that. So that's just another blessing. The kitchen staff has worked so hard on feeding everyone, for meetings, for Life 360, and so many other events, and we thank you for that. And more people have joined our worship teams. And thank you for the worship this morning. It was powerful. I'm just thankful for all the people that have stepped up. We got drummers, and sometimes you see three or four drummers up here, and isn't that cool? We got a saxophone player, we got a violin player, and many more voices, and so that's a blessing. There's been much activity in missions. I mean, we got a team right now in Bolivia. We need to pray for them. I actually got a text yesterday that some of them are having tummy issues, so we need to pray for that. But that's cool. And there's been trips to Mexico, Vancouver, and soon Kenya. So what a blessing that has been in these missions. The neighbor's table has started up with more volunteers and has been a blessing to the less fortunate and to the volunteers. I talked to the people there that are volunteering, and they feel so blessed. The Youth 180, and I talked about that a couple weeks ago, the Youth 180, Brad alluded to it, started up a few weeks ago, and with over 30 kids coming out, that's awesome. My grandkids absolutely love it. So thank the Lord for that. Search team is working hard at looking at resumes for a new lead pastor. Pray for them and pray for the new man of God that God has for this body. And the nominating team is continually looking for people to fill roles here at FBC. So there's much going on. God is working in the midst. He's working. Sometimes it seems like we don't see it, but he is definitely working. So praise God for that. So in conclusion, it's exciting to see what he has next for us. Please continue to pray for us elders, deacons, our new pastor, and this body. Thank you for your time.
Thank you guys for sharing. Much appreciated. I've asked them to share because of what he has shared, both of them, you often don't get to see unless you're participating or sitting in the meetings and observing it. So it's exciting to hear of what God has been doing. I want to talk about transition. Transition is very different from change. William Bridges and Associates did a paper on this, like their definition that they gave, and it says this, and you want to write this down because you guys are going to come into transition again and change. New pastor, new things happening, different ways of happening. Change is situational. We know that. We all go through that. I just received notice that I'll be having my surgery on April the 7th, and there's the situation. Now I'll be laid up in bed for a few weeks after that. It could be a reduction in staff at work. It could be shifting the focus at work. You're all of a sudden going in, and now the boss or your leader has changed the focus. Relationships are always changing. Transition, on the other hand, and maybe you've been catching on as we've been traveling this now over 19 months, but transition, on the other hand, happens in three phases. It's a process that you and I mentally go through when we're coming to terms with change, such as endings. I get to go down for surgery, and I have a hunting dog, and she needs exercise, and so my spouse looked at me and smiled and said, "That needs to go somewhere else." And so ending, I have to get a hold of my hunting buddy and say, can you look after my dog for a month? Mentally, I go through the changes of that. There's a neutral zone. We go through that all the time. Oh, this is not too bad. I can get through this. I'm working through that with my head right now. I'm thinking, okay, it's surgery. The surgeon said that it's a minimum of about 9 to 12 weeks. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can probably be ready and moving around by 6 to 8. You know, I'm working this through my head in the neutral zone, trying to come to grips with it. And then there's new beginnings where you kind of get through that and you say, okay, I'm good with this. I'm comfortable with this. And we work through that mentally. All of us work through that. Every time we run into a change, whether we think it through, that's what happens to our mind. And so how do we manage change in our life? For that matter, how do we manage change in the body when it occurs? In the book of Exodus, as we started out last week, we come across a man named Moses. And the story of Moses runs through this book of Exodus, but it also goes into Leviticus and Numbers, but the majority of it, of this story, is in Exodus. It's a great story about how to lead people, a group of people, from an old way of doing things to a new way. You see, Moses' church body was the people of Israel. And as one reads the story, we see that they're in bondage. And if you go to Exodus, the beginning parts of Exodus, chapter 1 and 2 and 3, the people were crying out to God. Something needs to change, Lord. This is not good. We're being persecuted. We're being moved into slavery. And the Lord heard their prayers. And the Lord moved in their midst. And he sends Moses to them. Now the Lord was listening to your prayers. Long before I came, in the surveys that were given out, many people in this body have been praying for years. Some things need to change. Some things need to be fixed. And God heard your prayers. Often our churches are in bondage. Often we've outlived the way of doing things or thinking about things or evaluating things. In your surveys, when they came out and were given to you before I came and then while I came, many of them were still working on it, but there were staffing issues that went back a number of years that affected the body. There was a lack of unity which came out over and over, even in your prayer booklet. There was a lack of people willing to serve, and you've been hearing what God has been doing in your midst of how you guys have been stepping up and how God has been moving in your heart, and it's exciting. There was hurts. There was unforgiveness. There was fractures. There was division in your midst, and it had been piling up. The elders and deacon boards needed help. There was a lack of understanding of the mission and vision. What is our mission and vision? Many of you couldn't give that definition or what it was unless you looked at the bulletin or you asked somebody. You have a new mission and vision. How are you going to apply that mission? What's that look like? You see, when Moses came to the Israelites, he looked for ways to get the Egyptians to let my people go. And so the people moved into the first phase of endings, closure. I talked about that when I first started. There's the grieving the loss. There's forgiving the offenses. There's letting go of the hurt. It's holding on to what is good. Closure means closing the door on the past. Closure means also opening the doors to the future. And Moses discovered that it is difficult to break a system that holds on to people. And you see that in chapter 5. Turn with me, if you're not there already, to chapter 5 of Exodus. Moses approached Pharaoh. And he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No, it's not going to happen." In fact, he says, "Now your people have to make the same number of bricks, but they have to gather all the resources to do it." Well, the people didn't like this. And as you read chapter 5, and you'll see this, the foremen, the Israelites, they started complaining. So they went to Pharaoh. They went to Pharaoh and they said to Pharaoh, "Come on, this is unrealistic. We can't do this." And what did Pharaoh say to them? You'll see it there. He says, "You're just lazy. You're just lazy. Get to work." Well, they didn't like that story. And you'll see in chapter 5 there, that in verse 20 it says this, "When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said this, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his servants and have put a sword in their hands to kill us.'" Simple, everyday language. "You messed it up, Moses. It wasn't so bad after all. Now Pharaoh doesn't like us. Now he wants to kill us." Moses found that with transition, with change, it actually tightens up. When Moses made his first effort, Pharaoh started to tighten up. Then the Lord brings the plagues and puts the squeeze even further. And in Moses' world, the plagues were rather graphic. And you'll see that as you read through the chapters. You go all the way from 5 to 12, it starts talking about the plagues. And today's plagues are different, but they're just as disruptive. And as a body, you've experienced that. You've been seeing and going through that. The elders have been moving through that. The deacons have been moving through that. The message conveyed by the plagues as you read through Exodus is this: the old ways are not working anymore. And God was trying to change the Egyptians' hearts and the Israelites' hearts. It's a difficult message. It's a difficult message for us to hear. It's a difficult message for the Egyptians to hear. Pharaoh did not want to hear it until his son was taken. And then he knew he needed to let them go. God protected their people, as we saw last week Sunday. He gave them something to do, a sacrifice, to put the blood on the posts of the door and over the cross of the door. We talked about it last week Sunday, and we saw that Jesus Christ has done the same thing for us. And he's given us a new culture, a new thing that we are to do until he returns. He gave us a new sense of mission as followers of Christ, remembering what Jesus Christ has done. We sang that this morning. We listened to that. when Scripture was read. And as troubles mounted, Pharaoh grudgingly recognized that he really had no way but to let the Israelites go from Egypt. And then they came to the Red Sea. And when they came to the Red Sea, what did the Israelites do again? Oh, Moses, look what you've done. You've just brought us out here just to die. We're stuck now with this body of water, and the Egyptians are behind us. We all need a Red Sea experience, a line of no return between the endings and the neutral zone. And that's what the Red Sea physically was for the Israelites. And unless we're able to make real endings, we'll be unable to make successful beginnings. As a transitional pastor, that is what I've been trying to help and encourage and work with. And as a body, you will continually go through change and transition. Each one of you will go through that in life. And then you come to the neutral zone. It's a time and a place which old behaviors and attitudes die out. And fortunately enough, the Lord doesn't do it to us today where a whole generation passes away. And people go dormant as they prepare to move out in a new direction. And Moses had to keep the people in the neutral zone long enough for them to be fundamentally changed by the wilderness experience. The old system follows people. It tries to pull them back. It will try to do the same thing with you. You're going to want to go back to where it is comfortable. The Israelites ran into it when they came to the Red Sea. They ran into it in the wilderness. And yet the Lord looked after them. It's interesting, as Moses was leading the people, as Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea, and the Israelites saw that, and they observed that, and they took that in. The past needs to be drowned just like Pharaoh's army. You see, I want to make it really clear. The past did its job. It got you to where you are today. It was fine for a time, but its time has passed. And Moses knew that people's identities were too tied up in the past to reject it totally. And so that's why they traveled out in the wilderness for a long time. In fact, when they left Egypt, in this story, it's very interesting that Moses instructed the Israelites to take Joseph's bones with them. Joseph's bones. And carry them into the wilderness. Remembering some of the good things. Remembering what God has been doing. The neutral zone is a tough zone. It's a zone where we've been spending many months, and this is why we want to share this with you, of what God has been doing, of what God has been working in. And if there's any of you that would love to just share what God has been doing in your life or what you've been observing, what God's been doing in this church body's life, may I encourage you to talk with Stephen. He's here for a while. And then talk with Sheila, because at the end of the month, we have a number of people that would like to share that. In the neutral zone, the Israelites kept saying, Egypt really wasn't that bad. I mean, Moses really doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, look at what he's done. He's led us out here in the middle of nowhere. Why is this taking so long? Understanding that it was the people who went with the majority of the spies and then entered the promised land. And so they wandered. People have to take a long journey through the second phase, through the nurture zone, and it occurs with every one of us before we can be transformed into people who are ready for the promised land. And Moses knew it's always easier to take the people out of Egypt than it is to take the Egypt system out of the people. And if you read this story through Exodus, you'll see the struggle that the people had. Every time we make a change of any depth or extent, we find ourselves in this confusing no man's land between the old way and the new way. Farmers, they struggle with this just as much as anybody. But now you need more land, which means you need bigger equipment, which to get that stuff done, you'll have a shorter period of time. The same period of time, but more land. So you can't use the old equipment. You have to upgrade. You have to look at it differently. The time in the wilderness is where we've been moving, leaving the old way. And the old way starts losing its grip on you. The neutral zone can be very discouraging at times. But if we take it symbolically, it makes good sense. You see, the old attitudes and behaviors that were appropriate in Egypt must die. And the new ones must be generated. Or else the promised land will just end up being a new Egypt. Henry Adams wrote this. He said, chaos breeds life, while order breeds habit. The neutral zone is the most naturally creative time the church will ever have. And these men were bearing testimony that spoke this morning, and next week, Sunday, there's more to bear testimony of what God has been doing in the neutral zone. We see change as something like crossing the street. And I have this discussion with people here, but I've had it with many people. They see it the same way. Change is nothing more than the time it takes to cross the street. And we think we can create new behaviors and new attitudes quickly. But the story of Moses tells us otherwise. It took the Israelites 40 years to change the way they were thinking. 40 years to rely upon God. And as you continue to read the Old Testament and you see the story, they had their ups and downs. They were on fire and then they lost it. And then they were on fire and they lost it. Change itself can be a problem. And that's why Moses is such a great example of helping a group of people move from the old ways to new ways. Next week, I want to talk about new beginnings. The exciting thing that the Lord has been doing in your midst. As the team comes up and closes off in song, may I encourage you to read the story from Exodus of Moses, what he's done and doing with the people. Because each one of us goes through that. Each one of us goes through that in our life as we move through change. Let me just pray for you as the team leads us in our closing songs. Our dear Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you navigate, move, work through us. Lord, thank you for the work that you've been doing in your body here at FBC. Thank you how you have been moving in our midst. Lord, may we just grab hold of the new. May we have this excitement of what you have for us, Lord. May we get ready to cross the Jordan River. Thank you, Lord. And we just pray and ask these things in your name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.